Today's reading is in two parts from two books of the Bible. The first part is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, which you'll find on page 1135, beginning at verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And now we turn to the second part of the reading, which is from the first epistle of John, chapter 3. Which you will find on page 1126, one John chapter 3, just the first two verses. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the word of the Lord.
And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we start this spiritual health check, we pray, please, that you would teach us and encourage us, and that each one of us would grow in our spiritual health. Father, please use this Lent for your glory among us. Amen. Well, as we've said, we're starting the spiritual health check, and it's not too late. If you want to find someone to meet up with, feel free to do so, or if you want to sign up on the board for us to find you someone, feel free to do that as well, and we will match you up with someone, pair you up with someone, or put you with a group that's already there so that we can be meeting together to do this spiritual health check. Today, we're going to cover chapter one of the book, and then next Sunday, Sean Swinney's going to be here preaching, and he's going to cover chapter four. And in the meantime, if in your groups you're able to cover those the intervening chapters, chapters two and three, that would be great. If it doesn't quite work out like that, or if you've already done them, then that too is great. As we start the spiritual health check, we need to ask ourselves an important question. And it will come up on the screen. Max, are we on Apple TV? Thank you. So, spiritual health check. This important question is this. What does spiritual health look like? When I went for a physical health check, having turned 40, I went to the nurse, and of course, she did various tests, various things, and took blood pressure, that sort of thing. But of course, she's got to know what healthy looks like in order to know whether I am healthy or not. She's got to have something to compare me with. We need to know what spiritual health is like as we start the spiritual health check. What does spiritual health look like? And the answer in the Bible is spiritual health looks like Jesus. Spiritual health looks like him. There are lots of places in the Bible where we're called to imitate Jesus. Paul instructs the Corinthians to imitate him as he imitates Christ. John, in his letter in 1 John, a bit earlier than the bit we just read, instructs his readers to walk as Jesus did. Spiritual health looks like Jesus. Now, the problem is, you're probably already thinking, well, I've just failed the spiritual health check. We haven't got beyond chapter one, and I know I've failed. It's a bit like me turning up for my physical health check and the nurse saying, well, our standard for spiritual health is Usain Bolt. You know, well, I know for a start, I'm not going to match up. To say that spiritual health looks like Jesus could be very depressing, but before we give up, we need to take on board the big picture of what God has done for us, is doing in us, and will do for us. Has done for us, is doing in us, day by day, and will do for us. And it's important that we get these truths into our heads as we start the spiritual health check. So, what has God done for us? We will come to the readings that Pam read for us in just a few minutes. But before we get to those, just flick back with you to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I will give you a page number for that. Oh, page 1132. There you go, it's on the screen. Page 1132. To see what God has done for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, just that verse, says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. And if you cast your eyes down to verse 9, it says it again. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So Paul is saying, by this stage in the book of Romans, you can look back and you can know, if you're a Christian, that God has done something very significant for you. He has justified you through Jesus' blood. What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means all our wrongdoing, all our badness, all our falling short of the mark, all of the ways we don't match up to Jesus have been dealt with. To change the analogy, to change the picture, it's as if in the courtroom of the universe, the verdict on you, if you're a Christian, has already been given. One day, the Bible says, we will all stand before God and give an account for our lives. And that is a frightening prospect. But the book of Romans tells us you can already know the verdict if you're a Christian. The verdict has already been pronounced. If you've put your trust in Jesus, the judge's decision is justified. A declaration of not guilty has already been given. Now, that's important to know as we start the spiritual health check. Because on our own merits, we know the Bible tells us we fail the health check. We are nowhere near Jesus. But Jesus has dealt with our sin and our wickedness such that we have a perfect record. It's as if I were to go into the nurse for the physical health check and she were to say, well, I see that actually we've already got all the numbers for your tests and they are all Usain Bolt-like. We've already got your results and they are utterly perfect. That is what Jesus has done for us. Your spiritual health, you can say, and my spiritual health is utterly perfect. I have been declared justified. So we're going to build up this picture on the screen. I have been justified. But we also need to remember we are still sinners. This was what Martin Luther said, wasn't it? He said it in Latin. He said, we are simul justus et peccator. In other words, we are at the same time justified and sinners. The declaration is out there of not guilty, of perfect spiritual health, and yet we look at ourselves and we go, we're more Homer Simpson than Usain Bolt. We go, yeah, that is right. We are at the same time justified and yet still sinners. But that is what God has done for us. We are justified. Next, what God is doing in us. And this is where we come to the Romans 8 passage that Pam read for us. So flick on to Romans 8, verse 28. And these verses tell you what God's goal is for your life. Now that's important to know, isn't it? This is God's goal for your life. It says in verse 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is saying God's plan for you, if you're a Christian, if you love God, God's purpose in everything is to work for your good. But what is that good? We need to always to keep Romans 8:28 with 8:29. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So the good that God has in mind for you, if you're a Christian, is to make you more and more like Jesus. So we can put this, add this to our to what we have on the screen. I am being made more like Jesus, day by day. Have you realized that is God's goal for your life? Bit by bit, making us more and more like Jesus, giving us greater and greater spiritual health. It's not that we, you know, when it says being made more like Jesus, it's not that we lose our individual personalities. It's not that in every way you become like Jesus. You've not got to become a Middle Eastern male Jew. No, but in godliness, in trusting God, in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, in all those kind of ways, God's great work in our lives, if we're Christians, is to make us more and more like Jesus. Spiritual health looks like Jesus. God has justified us, though we are still sinners, but now, day by day, he is making us what he has already declared us to be. Like an artist, like a sculptor, working on a bit of clay, shaping it and fashioning it. God is molding and shaping and forming us as his people. He's working on a masterpiece in your life. It's incredible to say, isn't it? If you're a Christian, God has a goal for your life. You may think, I'm nobody, I'm not much. God says, I've got a purpose for your life. If you're a Christian, and the goal is this, making you more like Jesus. If you're still breathing, God is still shaping. Now, if we don't take that on board, we could end up angry with God or hugely disappointed. We've got to take on board into our thinking what God's goal is for our lives. You see, we all have a whole load of goals for our lives. Some have thought them through. Maybe you've gone through a process of thinking, what are the goals for my life? But some, we may not have thought them through, but we probably still have them. And often they come in these sorts of areas. Sort of health, up on the screen. Health or love, family, wealth, career. Those are the kind of things. For people around here, fulfillment in those kind of areas is the big thing in life. I love the description of suburban culture that Jared Wilson has in the book, The Imperfect Disciple. He says this. For suburban people, the goals are to have a nice house for our busy family, the nice car to get to a rewarding job, and a nice neighbourhood to make life more livable. That's often what people want, often what we want, isn't it? Let me say it again. The goals are to have a nice house for our busy family, the nice car to get to a rewarding job, and a nice neighbourhood to make life more livable. But none of those are God's goals for you and me. None of those are God's big goals. He may give us some of them, but they are not his big goal for our lives. God's goal for our lives is to make us more like Jesus. And do you notice from the verses, from verse 28, what God uses to do that? Have a look again, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things. Everything that happens. The joys and the sorrows. Every event is a tool in God's hands to craft us to being like Jesus. If you're a Christian, your life is custom made to shape and mold and craft you into Christ-likeness. And knowing that is actually liberating when it comes to those other goals. You see, those goals we often have, they're often not wrong in themselves. Love, family, career, health, you know, all those sorts of things, they're not bad. But since God's goal is to make us more like Jesus, if having those other goals is going to help us to be more Christ-like, he will give them to us. We are assured there is nothing he would withhold from us. He hasn't withheld his son from us. There is nothing he would withhold from us. But also, if having those other goals would get in the way of us becoming Christ-like, Jesus lovingly withholds them. Which means we need to hold those other goals, health, family, career, in an open hand, don't we? Trusting God that he will do whatever is best for us to become like Jesus. If he gives them to us, we praise him and pray that he will use them to make us become more like Jesus. If he doesn't give them to us, we still praise God, sometimes with the pain of dreams unfulfilled, but we praise him nonetheless that he knows what is best for us better than we do. Everything is used by him to make us more like Jesus. See, we need to know that this is God's goal for our lives and that he uses everything that happens to us to that end. And so we need to realize that none of us will achieve spiritual health in this life. None of us will get there in this life. All of us are unhealthy, but God is working on us. So as you go through the spiritual health check, if as you go through you think you've nailed it 100%, that probably means you need to go back through it. And if as you go through it you're thinking, I'm not doing so well, well, for each of us, for all of us, there are things we need to work on, things we need to change. That's what God's saying in Romans 8. There is more to be done for each one of us. Oddly, a sign of spiritual health is to realize that you're not spiritually healthy. But Romans 8 tells us God's goal is to keep working on us. And don't make the mistake of thinking, just because we've seen here that this is God's work in us, that we are passive in the process. That's where the rest of the health check comes in. Just because God is at work in us doesn't mean he's at work like a surgeon on an unconscious body. By his Spirit, God is at work on our wills and our desires and gets us to work. But more of that later in the health check. So we need to see what God is doing. God is at work in us to make us more like Jesus. And we need to know what God will do. So we've seen what God has done, justified us, if we're Christians. What God is doing, making us more like Jesus. And lastly, what God will do for us. In 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. Have a look at page 1226. So flick over to 1226. Page 1226, verses 1 to 3. Let me just reread them for us. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John is saying, well, he said there what we are, that we are children of God, but the thing to see here is what we will be in verse 2. This is a glorious truth, isn't it? When we see Jesus, we will be transformed to be like him. That's a great thought, isn't it? Isn't that a lovely thought? A wonderful thought. And what John is saying is it is the process of coming before Jesus, of beholding him. It's as we see him, see his glory, when we see him in the future, when we see his glory, that we are transformed. If you remember Moses, when he went up the mountain, he saw God. And when he came down the mountain, Moses himself was sort of bright and had to be veiled because he'd been in the presence of God. Well, it's like God is saying that will happen to us, but even more so, when we see Jesus, when we see his glory, we, by beholding him, we will be transformed, we will be changed to be perfectly like him. So we can add that to what we had on the screen. I will be perfectly like Jesus when he returns. That's where God is taking us. It's a guaranteed destination for Christians. Spiritual health-wise, the future is exceedingly bright. I don't know how the future is for you physically at the moment. Spiritually, it is glorious. We look forward to perfect spiritual health. Won't that be glorious? No sin, no impatience, no lack of trust in God, but perfect love and perfect delight in him. That's what awaits, guaranteed. So, as we start the spiritual health check, what does spiritual health look like? Jesus. It looks like Jesus. But we need to keep in mind what God has done, is doing, and will do. We need to remember, if you're a Christian, you have been justified. The declaration is out there, justified. Your results are in from your spiritual health check, and you are perfect. Glorious, isn't it? I am being made more like Jesus day by day. God is at work in each of us who've trusted in Christ to make us more like Jesus in every circumstance. And I will one day be perfectly like Jesus. Now, as we go into the next chapters of the spiritual health check in small groups, we're going to get into five questions. You might have already started this, but there are five diagnostic questions to say, how are we doing? But for now, we're going to use the prayer that's at the end of chapter one of the spiritual health check. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. I'm just going to give you a moment to read it through, because it's not always easy just to read out a prayer that you've not read before. So I'm just going to give you a moment to read it through, and then we'll pray it together in response to what we've heard. And so let's pray together. Lord, I know I am not who I one day will be, but I thank you that I am not who I used to be. Please make me more like Christ today than I was yesterday. And please answer that prayer each day until the day I stand before him. Amen.